the OTB Podcast Network.
I'm delighted to say Sean O'Sullivan is with us this morning to help us preview the Kerry season. Sean, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, Gerard. Hi, Owen. Thanks for having me, lads.
Owen is desperately trying to talk down Kerry's chances this year, so we wanted somebody to come on and tell us the truth about what's going on. Somebody with like their boots on the ground. What level of excitement is there, first off, before we get into this, about what Kerry might be capable of doing in this year's championship?
Well, I think there's a level of excitement, Ger, that we're back. Obviously, the league is nearly upon us next weekend, the 15th, isn't it? We've Galway at home, so we're just excited to be back and to see what Kerry can bring to the table. We have to believe we're contenders. We believe that every year. We believed that last year. Obviously, it didn't work out as we had planned. It was a very, very disappointing premature end to a season that was full of hope for us. So looking forward to this year, you know, we have to just wipe the slate clean. I'm sure management and players had a very, very good look at themselves. They've certainly had a lot of time to have a look at themselves and figure out what went wrong above in Parkyqueave against Cork in the Munster Championship, and hoping to right a lot of wrongs from that, and just approach 2021 like, as I said, a clean slate for everyone. They've injected a few new faces into the squad. They've given one particular member of their management team a little bit more responsibility, especially in terms of their forward play. So they have definitely looked at a few things within their camp that obviously they weren't happy with, and they're just going to try and, you know, get back to hopefully where they were a couple of years ago. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that they drew with Dublin in an All Ireland final. So haven't turned into a bad team overnight. That old cliche will be thrown out, but they have to go and prove it.
The extra responsibilities on Maurice Fitzgerald.
It is, Owen, yeah. So obviously, look, Kerry lost Donny Buckley from their management team. That's been well publicised, I suppose. People have been trying to find out why and so on, but Kerry have kept pretty quiet on the, I suppose, what went on behind closed doors with that one. So anyway, he's moved on to Monaghan. And there was rumblings of different people coming in. I know Paul Galvin was mentioned in that conversation. I felt that would have been a good move for both parties. Unfortunately, didn't work out for Paul in terms of logistically. He's moved to the west of Ireland, and it just couldn't work out. So rather than, I suppose, bringing in somebody then for the sake of it, they've just given Morris more responsibility in terms of the coaching side of things. I know he was, you know, primarily in as obviously selector and responsible for team selection, along with Peter and James Foley. But he was also brought in, obviously, to work with the forwards. But from what I gather now, he's been given a more overall responsibility in terms of the team. So, again, I don't know the ins and outs that own. As you can imagine, Kerry keep things very, very close to their chest. And we'll have to wait and see what kind of influence that extra responsibility that Morris has been given has on the team going forward.
One of the questions that we're asking in this contender series is then, what's the identity of the team? And it'll be very difficult for us to really establish what that is. Maybe this championship, because it's such a blitzkrieg championship, there's no back doors, there's far fewer games. Will we get to see much, do you believe, from the team in terms of the patterns of play that they're trying to establish over the course of the league? Or, again, is everything under the cover of darkness?
Good question, Ger, because you see, you're it's very, very difficult because you're just so restricted with time. You know, you're trying to, you know, they're back training now since, what, last Monday? And you're trying to tick a lot of boxes in a short period of time. I don't think that no team will have the time to try and reinvent the wheel. They're going to stick to their strengths and try and, you know, perfect those as much as possible, and obviously work on what you know, what isn't so good. But you won't have the time to overly drastically change your identity, as you call it, or your game plan, or how you want to approach it. Obviously, what opposition you meet will have a big say in that as well, in terms of how they set up and, you know, your analysis on them. But the Kerry identity, you know, it won't change. I mean, I was lucky enough to go in and be in at their last league game against Donegal and Tralee last year, when they clinched the league title. Actually, they won it, and won quite convincingly. Now, you have to take a lot of things into account here. Donegal came down to Tralee with a fairly scratched team because they were out the following week against Tyrone in the Championship. So that was fair enough. But I definitely saw Kerry. I thought I saw a new Kerry that day in terms of the way they set up when they didn't have the ball, and still managed to, I mean, they blitzed Donegal, they put up a big score, even though they played very, very defensively when they didn't have the ball, particularly their forwards. Their forwards really, really impressed me that day. Their work rate, there was no crowd, so you could hear the communication. The real leaders in that forward line barking orders to get back into position and to defend high up the field. And I came away from Tralee that day thinking, geez, you know, this is the new Kerry. This is going to be hard to beat if we can get this right. And obviously, for whatever reason, we got the defensive part right above in Páirc Uí, but we just didn't get the forward part right. So, and that can happen. That can happen. So, I think the Kerry identity has changed a little bit, and I think they won't veer away too much from that. They'll still be very, very difficult to play against when they don't have the ball, but they're obviously going to be looking for their key men up front to have a better day out than they did in Cork last what was it, November?
Yeah, like the thing is, the idea of Kerry playing five forwards that night against Cork is something that has pissed off a lot of people in the aftermath, and it fits in perfectly with this identity question, Sean. Like, have Kerry strayed too far from their identity by playing five forwards in a game against Cork, a game they're expected to win?
I wouldn't say they strayed too far from it, but I think certainly maybe in the Cork game, they didn't have to go to those levels. No, I don't think so. Kerry, I felt, were well capable of beating Cork if they went and played their normal style and attacked Cork. You know, you got to give credit to Cork. They stuck in there. They got their goal with the last kick of the game, you know, and I'm sure the plan for Cork was to stick in there as long as possible. And if they were in the game in the last 10 minutes, then so be it. But I firmly believe that if Kerry had maybe just thrown off the shackles a little bit and gone for it, then they would have had the capabilities of beating Cork. Now, in saying that, on the night, you know, they just had some very, very off performances, particularly from their forwards. Even if they were playing with five or four or whatever it was, the time zone, they made poor decisions. They took on, difficult scoring opportunities, wrong shot selection. And as bad as they looked on the night and as badly as they played on the night, if they had taken maybe a couple of more correct decisions inside in the final third, they probably would have got out of there with a win, and who knows, you know, maybe would have driven on a little bit and possibly got to an All-Ireland semi-final. So I just think on that night they got a lot right in terms of their new identity and how they wanted to set up. But when you're setting up like that, you need your talisman up front to get you the scores, and you need to be really making a mark every time you get into the opposition final third, and Kerry didn't do that enough on the night. That's definitely something I'm sure they've looked at. Will we see during the league if they've worked enough on it? I hope so. So it remains to be seen, but definitely it's an area that they will have to improve on if they are going to continue with that style, which I think they will.
One of the things we're asking everybody is some of the new talent that's coming into the squads. I know Paul O'Shea, who's a cousin of David Clifford, is training with the seniors. Is he the one that excites you the most of the new cohort? Because I know you've been involved in development squad, so it'll be good to get a bit of insight into some of these lads.
Yeah, Paul is. I had Paul at development squad. I'm actually part of Declan O'Sullivan's under-20 management team this year, and Paul is still an under-20. So we'll be hoping he doesn't play too well for the seniors, maybe that one. Paul is a very, very good talent. What are his strengths? He's very stylish. He would remind you very much of David Clifford in that ilk. He's just very, very comfortable on the ball. An excellent pair of hands. He can play, I suppose, in a variety of positions. I've seen him operate at midfield. I've seen him operate on the 40. He's played for his club in the inside line as a target man. So he's definitely one for the future, and does excite down here. Just haven't seen probably enough of him at a higher level. I've seen him in county championship games. He's obviously played at minor, won an All Ireland at minor, and played last year under 20. So obviously it's a huge step up for him. Will we see him in action during the league? It remains to be seen. So he's definitely one that stands out, and we'll be looking forward to see how he copes with inter-county football. But he's a good guy. He's got a good attitude, and the talent is there. The question is, can he bring it on up through the levels?
Sean, you mentioned the under 20s there. I haven't heard any finalised decision on what's happening. What are you planning for? What do you think might happen?
It's incredibly frustrating. And look, I'm not going to use this platform this morning to vent about the under 20s, because you asked me on to talk about the Kerry seniors. But we're very, very frustrated, Ger. The under 20 and the minor grades, in my opinion, have taken an awful hammering during this. And before people start maybe thinking that I'm just trying to cry off my own pulpit here, I'm not. I understand everybody suffering through this thing, particularly sports people, and wanting to get back out there. But we've been left in the dark completely. Absolutely, completely. We have, even as late as yesterday evening, I was texting contacts that you gather from your playing days, who you know are involved in discussions. I won't name names, but trying to find out. I mean, the under-20s haven't even been told, can we go into pods next week? Adult training is back in pods next week. An inter-county under-20 setup, which would be ran very professionally, are still in the dark. We've no idea. We're still waiting on clarification, and we're being told clarification is coming. So you ask me, what are we planning for? Our players have been on a return to play program since last January. We've been doing Zoom calls with them twice a week. They've been doing their own individual running sessions. I have to say, our provisional panel, every guy to a man has bought into it. It's very frustrating. You see guys up in college dorms using books for heel raises, for calf raises, it's terrible to see, guys inside in their dorms in college trying to use everything they have, trying to do, exercises that we prescribe them off chairs and beds and so on, And again, please, I'm not playing a little violin here for the Kerry under 20s or for anyone. I'm just trying to find out, and we are trying to find out, why these age groups have been completely bypassed. And I was listening to your discussion on physical education before I came on, and I mean, like, they're two primary groups that, these guys are 17, 18, 19, 20 years of age. They need to be out, they need to be active, they need to be moving. We get messages from the lads every day, when are we back? When can we go onto a field? When can we kick a bit of ball? And we can't give them an answer. So, sorry for going off on a tangent there, but it's very frustrating.
No, it's very similar to the conversation that we had with Bernard Flynn, who's involved with the, mm-hmm. the Meath under 20s a couple of weeks back after his Laker Gale. I know it's difficult to manage everything that's happening, but in terms of an age group, and particularly a club level as well, that actually desperately needs an outlet for physical activity after a couple of years. The other thing is that the long-term relationship that you have with the sport, it's generally around the memories that you form around games. It's not around the constant training sessions that you do.
Absolutely. And I mean, these guys are these guys are looking, the social part of it as well, Ger. These fellas are in college, or they've been doing online college now for how long? You know, they haven't even been able to go into their lectures. Just getting to meet up with, you know, lads that they would have played minor with or played minor against. And, you know, even, you know, on the Zoom groups, we have a bit of crack, you know, we try and keep it, you know, I did, you know, we've the group split up into four, each coach takes a group, and, you know, with my group, I would have done a jersey night, you know, pull out your, you know, all these lads have a good selection of jerseys, whether they be football, soccer, Australian rules, whatever, you know, pull out your best jersey and we'll have a bit of crack. You're just trying to keep the interaction with them, but it gets to a stage where even that loses its effect. And you're right. I played 3 years under 21 with Kerry, and you don't remember the training sessions. You remember, you know, All-Ireland semi-finals and All-Ireland finals and getting to see your friends. And look, that's all we're looking for. But the first step on that is, please tell us where we're at. And at least then we can go back to these young fellas and say, we're either good to go, or unfortunately, we're not good to go yet, but we are good to go whenever. And at least we have some bit of clarification for them, because it's driving them mad now at the moment.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, I'm glad you brought us on that tangent, because I think it's important, particularly in light of the conversation that we were having last night with Micheál Martin, and we're going to continue to be having over the next while on the show as well. Just one last point about Kerry for me, in terms of what you think might be realistic this year. While last year the Munster Football Championship was obviously a disaster, you would expect this year, with the league and the summer and the opportunity for better weather, we still expect Kerry to come through that. I think, you know, there'll be harder games, and Cork will have a say, and you would expect Tip to have a say this year too. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. You know, we would expect Kerry to get over Clare, and hopefully that'll give them an opportunity to display their best. They have to consider themselves All-Ireland contenders, and they have to consider themselves capable of winning a semi-final against whoever comes out of Ulster. Do they believe that they're as good as this Dublin team at the moment? That's the big thing that everybody has. Or do they believe that they have a plan that can negate the strength of Dublin?
I think they do, but at the same time, I don't, because based on last year, I don't think they can look that far ahead, Ger, yet. That's probably one of the criticisms that was thrown at them last year, in that because they were changing their style, that they were looking down the road at a Dublin, because obviously it was all geared up for a Kerry Dublin final. So I think they've got burnt there, so they can't look too far ahead. But certainly I agree with you. I would expect Kerry to come out of Munster this year. They have Clare, they have a semi final then, which they should be winning. Is it the winners of Waterford and Limerick, is it? Sorry, I know that evades me. I have it on my phone there. But anyway, it's all geared up to a final against Cork and Killarney. Again, Tipperary, we all saw what they did last year. They'll be pouring again to show it wasn't a fluke. So they have to be in the conversation as well, of course. But I would expect Kerry to come out. And yes, then they have the Ulster champions. Kerry have to be looking at an All-Ireland final. You know, they have to be. Are they close to Dublin? Do they believe they can negate Dublin, as you said? They have to believe that. But they just have to take it one game at a time, because I think last season, all the talk was about this Kerry-Dublin final, potential Kerry-Dublin final. And it came back to bite us in the backside. So they can't get carried away. But I certainly would expect them to have enough to come out of Munster, yeah.
The OTB Podcast Network.